Please be seated, and we're going to bow our heads and pray together before we look at Mark chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 45. So let's bow our heads and let's all pray. Father, would you forgive us when we are more excited by tablets and phones and watching DVDs and all sorts of entertainment media more than we are reading what you have written for us? This morning, Father, would you give us the discipline, mental discipline, to listen and listen well and think about what we read in your word. We pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit and we would see what it means for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 6, begin to read at verse 45. If you have a Bible, please turn there. If you don't, there's some in the pews and it'll be great for you to follow on as I read from Mark 6. 45, and then as we think about that after we've read. Mark chapter 6, begin to read at verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, when he went out to them walking on the lake, he was about to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Whoever you are, I'm sure you can identify with me and also the disciples in what we've read, especially in verse 48. In verse 48, we read how the disciples were straining at the oars. So the boat, notice, you look at verse 47, the boat was in the middle of the lake, there was a strong wind against the boat, and Jesus came to them at the fourth watch of the night. So they were there on the lake, in the boat, from the evening. Now, the evening's probably when? 7 o'clock? But I'm going to be generous and say it was 9 o'clock. And they were there until the fourth watch, which is from 3 till 6. So they were there a minimum, straining at the oars, a minimum of 6 hours. Probably closer to 12. That's how long the disciples were straining on the oars in the middle of the lake. I'm told that that word straining could be translated torture. That's what they were going through, the disciples. Torture on the lake for over 6 hours. The famous Oxford and Cambridge boat race, anyone know how long that lasts? About 17, 18 minutes. And those guys are absolutely shattered. Now, of course, they're trying to go as fast as they can. But the disciples are not trying to go as fast as they can. They're just trying to get to the other side. And they are straining at the oars. They were tired, they were weary. I guess they were ready for quitting. Can you identify with that this morning? Situations in life, I'm sure we've all been through them. Tired, weary, ready for giving up. It doesn't matter what belief you are, it doesn't matter who you are, we've all faced situations that are just too big for us. We've all had to deal with circumstances that have caused us agony or perhaps caused our loved ones agony. It feels at times so often, doesn't it, that we are straining at the oars. What does it all mean? What does it mean that we are facing these things in our lives? I want you to try and finish these sentences. There's just two. Well, one's a saying, one's not. Red sky at night. Shepherd's delight. There he is, hopping and skipping. What about this one? If the cows roll her down, it's going to rain. Yeah, it's going to rain. So we're all very good, aren't we, at looking at something, circumstances, situations, the sky, cows, and we interpret what we see. We all do that all the time. We are interpreters of the things we see around us. So how do we interpret the fact that we are straining at the oars in life so often? What does that tell us? Well, some people say, because we strain at the oars, because life is tough, that means there is no God. How could there be a God when there is so much bad in this world? Some people say, yeah, there is a God, but that God can't love you. He must be very disinterested in you and your world. Other people, and this is Christians mainly, say, because I'm straining at the oars, that means, you know what, it's not worth following God. So when life is easy, when I'm on easy street, fine, I don't mind being a Christian. But as soon as life gets tough, that's it. I'm through with God because it's just too difficult, so I'm not going to follow him anymore. Is that what we're supposed to make of straining at the oars? Is that what we're supposed to make of health problems, family problems, money problems? No. This passage tells us something totally different. This passage tells us something amazing about Jesus and also something amazing about difficult situations. So open your Bible, if you've closed it, back to Mark chapter 6. And what we're going to do is, to start with, we're going to think about something about Jesus. And to help us do that, we're actually going to look at some other places in the Bible. We're going to look at two different verses. We're going to then do an experiment, which involves that paddling pool. And then we're going to draw a conclusion before looking at lessons in difficult times. So, two verses for you to look up in your Bibles. Let's see if we can find those. First, we've got Psalm 77. So we've got Psalm 77. Psalm's an easy one to find. Just let your Bible roughly fall in half, roughly in the middle, and you're about there. Maybe go left a little bit, and you'll soon be at Psalms. So this is Psalm 77 and verse 19. This is what it says in Psalm 77, verse 19. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. So that verse is telling us that God has power over the sea. Now move back to Job. So if you're in Psalm, you just need to go towards the front of the Bible a little bit more. And this is Job chapter 9 and verse 8. So we've seen that God has power over the sea. Now this verse is really amazing. So this is Job chapter 9 and verse 8. This is what it says. This is talking about God. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. What does that verse tell us about God? That verse tells us that God alone can tread on the waves. God alone can walk on the sea. Okay, now it's time for the experiment. This paddling pool... Would some of young people like to just come a bit closer? Just have a look. Come on, Christopher. Yeah, come on. Anyone that would like to, just come. And can you confirm for me? Anyone else wants to? There's definitely water in there, isn't there? Can you see? There's definitely water. Yeah, there's some water in there. Can we see it? For all the adults, there we go. So I'm going to try and walk on this water. Okay, so I'll just take my shoes off. I hope I don't have holes in my socks. Ooh. Okay, are we ready? Wait a minute. I came prepared this morning. Proper farmer wellies, these. Okay. Here we go. Can you see how I'm still on top of the water? No problem. What do you think? No, no chance. Am I still on top of the water? Yeah. I'm not, am I? I have gone right through. Now, fortunately, it's only that deep. If that was this deep, where do you think I would be stood? I'd be stood at the bottom still, wouldn't I? Now, what can we conclude? So in Job chapter 9 and verse 8, we saw that God can tread on the waves. God can stand on top of the water. So the fact that I'm stood, not on top of the water, but in the water, we can conclude that I'm not God. Okay? We can conclude that. Now, go back to your places, and we're going to turn back to our passage in Mark. So if you go to Mark, stay. Hope they don't fall over, otherwise I'm going to get wet feet if I have to put my wellies on. Okay. So now let's go back to our passage in Mark, and let's look at verse 48. So we've seen that I tried to stand on top of that water, and I sunk right through it. But now look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 48. This is what it says. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. So Jesus, he walked on top of the water. This should be blowing us away. Some people sat in this room today are thinking, like, anyone can walk on water. It's like, all right, is that it? Jesus walked on top of the lake. Isn't that amazing? The disciples are there, straining against the oars. They are just in torture. And Jesus just walks right to them on top of the lake. What's the conclusion we have to draw from that? It's simple. Jesus is God. We saw in Job chapter 9, verse 8, that only God can tread on the waves. And here we read that Jesus is walking on the waves. That proves to us that Jesus is God. Okay, let's move on, because now we need to learn some difficult lessons, some lessons for difficult situations. It's getting time, isn't it? 40 days to go until Christmas. Is it 40 days? Yeah, something like that. So in 40 days' time, some of us are going to be getting some Christmas presents. I wonder what you want. Maybe you want some Lego stuff. Maybe you want some Star Wars stuff. Maybe you want some Frozen things from Iceland. No, not from Iceland. Frozen things, the movie. I don't know. Maybe there's loads of different things that you want for Christmas. Have you ever thought, what does God want? You ever thought about this? I don't mean for Christmas. I mean, what does God want? I think this story gives us some clues to what God wants. So look with me at verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. That verse tells us that Jesus insisted that his disciples got in the boat and went across the lake. Now, we need to learn some things about God. Can anyone tell me something about God? What do we know about God? Anyone? Children, tell me something you know about God. Everyone's a bit distracted. Christopher, you tell me something about God. He can walk on the water. Yeah, anything else? So he has power, doesn't he? He has power. Anything else we know about God? He forgives sin. That's something else God does. How about God knows everything? Okay, so God knows everything. Do you think Jesus knew his disciples on the lake were going to come across some really heavy wind? Of course he did. But he insisted that they got into the boat and sailed across the lake. So Jesus knew his disciples were going to face that storm. In fact, Jesus sent them directly into that storm, remember, for 6 hours at least. Why did Jesus let them go into a storm for 6 hours? I think it's because some lessons are hard to learn. You might not realize the importance of brushing your teeth until you need a fill-in. You might not see the importance of vitamin C until you get scurvy. You might not realize the importance of not smoking until your health gets progressively worse. Now, what are we worst at? We are worst, look with me, this is incredible. Look with me at verse 52. It says of the disciples that their hearts were hardened. The worst thing we are at doing is not cleaning our teeth. It's not realizing that smoking's a bad thing. The worst thing we are at doing is learning who Jesus is. We're at Mark 6 by this point. Jesus has raised someone from the dead. He has fed 5,000 people with one person's lunch. He has healed Peter's mother-in-law. He's driven out evil spirits. He's done amazing teaching, yet the disciples still don't realize who Jesus is. So what does Jesus do? He sends his disciples into a storm so that they will be tired weary, exhausted, ready to give up. And at that point, he comes and he shows that he is an amazing Savior. At their most difficult point, he walks on the waves. I mean, do you realize what it is that the disciples need in the storm? They don't need rowing lessons, do they? They don't need to be shown how to use the boat a bit better. They need Jesus. Seeing Jesus is the only solution to their problem. You'll notice that it says that Jesus was going to walk right past them. That's not because he wanted to avoid them. That's so that they could see him. And they could see that the storm couldn't touch him. That they would see that he is the one that could help. Earlier I asked a question. What does God want? Well, this is what God wants. He wants for us to know who he is. He wants for us to turn to him for help. He didn't want the disciples trying to deal with this on their own. He wanted the disciples to look to him. And whenever we're straining in life, whenever we're facing situations that are so, so difficult, Jesus wants us to know that he is the one that can help. He's the one that is there for us no matter what. Verse 46 just blows me away. It says in verse 46 that after leaving the disciples, Jesus went on a mountainside to pray. This was my question. What was Jesus praying? Well, we know what Jesus was praying because the disciples said, "What should we say when we pray?" And Jesus' answer was, "We should pray that God's name is honored. We should pray that God's kingdom would come. We should pray that God's will would be done." Jesus would be praying those exact things. I think Jesus was praying specifically that God's kingdom would come in the life of his disciples. That God's will would be done in the life of his disciples. That the disciples would honor God by seeing that Jesus is God. See, that's what Jesus wants for us all. For us to recognize who he is. And so we bring glory to him by putting our trust in him. And tonight, friends, this morning, friends, do you know what Jesus is doing now? He's not up a mountain. He's at his Father's side praying for you, praying for me, praying that our hearts wouldn't be hard, praying that we would see that Jesus is our Savior, not just to deal with our sins so we can get to heaven, but Jesus, our Savior, the one who wants to be with us when we're straining at the oars, no matter what we're facing in life, no matter what our circumstance, no matter what our situation, Jesus is the one who can help us in it all. See, Jesus is the captain of the waves, but he wants to become the captain of your life. Jesus is the Lord of all, but he wants to be the Lord of you. Jesus is the Savior on the high seas, but he wants to be your Savior. Peter Goss is a name which won't be familiar to most of us. In 1996, he was in an around-the-world yacht race. He received a distress call from a fellow competitor who was in the middle of hurricane-strength winds. Pete Goss turned around, and for 2 days, he battled against the wind and waves to get to his competitor, who was by then in a life raft, almost frozen to death. Pete Goss risked his life, took him onto his own boat, fed him, and took him to safety. The Lord Jesus, the one who can tread on the waves, the one who the storm cannot touch, came to your rescue, not by sailing for 2 days, but he came to your rescue by facing the storm that you should face head on. Why? Because he wants to be your Savior. He wants you to trust him. And he is praying for you right now that that's exactly what you would do. You must realize it is so, so hard for us to see who Jesus is because our hearts are so hard. But Jesus just wants us to turn to him. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. Let me point you to verse 50 before we close. These are incredible words. The disciples are in the middle of a storm, and Jesus says to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." No matter what you're going through, no matter what storm you're facing, no matter what the trial is, if Jesus is in his proper place in your life, Lord of all, captain of your life, then ultimately everything will be okay. And Jesus says to us, the bride of Christ, the church of God, he says, take courage. Do not be afraid. It is I. Let's bow our heads and pray before we sing our final song. Father, we thank you that Jesus demonstrated his power by raising the dead, by walking on the waves, by teaching amazing things. But thank you that he demonstrated his love ultimately by dying for us. Forgive us for having slow and hard hearts. Would you, by your grace, help us to see Jesus for who he truly is, our Savior and Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.